reading of the Word of God. We're running a little bit late here. It's about 20-some minutes after 7 already. You folks spent too much time in the beginning of the service. Caused me to be late. You've cut in on my preaching time. But isn't it good to be in the Lord's house and be saved? Thank God, I'm telling you. I'm glad I can lay my head down on my pillow at night and know that if I was to die in my sleep, I'd wake up in the arms of Jesus. Well, that's the greatest gift ever afforded to mankind, the gift of salvation. And it is a gift. It is a gift. You don't have to work for it. It's a gift. It is a gift. And so many folks today trying to work to get in, God help their souls, is all I can say. They've never learned to rest in Christ and to trust His blood for their salvation. He's a wonderful Savior. I'm going to ask you to turn your Bibles tonight to the Gospel according to Luke in chapter number 17, if you would, please. The Gospel according to Luke and chapter number 17. Now, I may not be able to do any more tonight than just talk to you for a few minutes. And what I got to say, I want to be careful how I say it. I do want to say it, but I want to be careful. And I want us to get the point. Because I think it can do great damage in the house of God. I'll explain why here in just a minute. Luke's Gospel in chapter number 17 and verse 1. Then said he unto his disciples, that is Jesus, unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, and that he should offend one of these little ones. Amen. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's bow our heads together for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for enjoying the good songs tonight that we're singing, making them a blessing to my heart, the choir, and the congregation. It's been good songs, good music, Christian music, godly music, and it's moved my heart for thee and to thee, and in that I do rejoice. I pray tonight, Lord, for divine help, for I realize without you I can do nothing. And I need you, Lord. I need your wisdom. I need, Lord, grace. I need the blessing of the Spirit of God and the filling of the same. I need divine liberty in this place to say everything that needs to be said. And I pray through it all that sinners will come to Christ. And, Lord, that your people will be blessed and helped. And that needs will be met tonight. And, Lord, that we might see fires of revival begin to burn within our hearts here at Island Ford Baptist Church. Bless the congregation. I pray you'll open up their hearts and help them to be receptive to the Word. And I know, Lord, that the manner of preaching tonight and the way I'm going to have to move on this and preach this, it's going to be somewhat slow. So I pray that you'll give the folks a little patience tonight and be long-suffering with the man of God and help me as much as they can. And we'll thank you, Lord, for it. Give us ears to hear now and hearts to understand. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our text verse is found in verse number 5, where the apostles said unto the Lord Jesus, they said, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Amen. And I want to preach on that night around the thought of the faith of forgiveness and forgetfulness. The faith of forgiveness and forgetfulness. You know, I sat at home this afternoon and I thought a while. And I thought on the things that are going on in churches and across our land, not only here, but in other places. And I got to thinking about those things that probably grieve the heart of God more than anything else. And I do believe there are things that grieve God more than some other things, and probably greater than things in what we believe, what we think. I think we've got our mind set on the external, and we've forgotten completely about what's going on within our heart. And so I want, you know, things that I'm talking about is things like an unforgiven spirit. God finds it difficult to work in amongst a people whose spirit is not willing to forgive and not willing to forget. And if Christ has forgiven us, we certainly ought to be willing to forgive others. I believe that teaches that in the Bible. And then, you know, there's people today that are out to get revenge, and they're going to do anything they can to get revenge on someone that they feel like has offended them in some way. And that's not good either. You hold that in your heart, you keep that in your heart, and it'll be like a root of bitterness. It'll spring up, and the Bible said when it does spring up that it will defile many. And then there's those that, you know, they just can't forget. They say they can forgive, but they say they just can't forget what's been done to them or how they've been offended and how they've been hurt, how they've been wounded. When I first came here, that's all I heard. I'm wounded. I've been wounded. I'm talking about not once or twice. I'm talking about time after time again because I'm wounded. I've been wounded. I've been wounded. And I got so tired of hearing that I've been wounded that it just about made me sick to my stomach. But now, the Lord begins here in this little small, but I think very important, a discourse to His disciples on the thought of offenses. And then right in the center of His lesson or His discourse, His disciples interrupt Him. They interrupt His word. And they make this statement. They said, "Lord, increase our faith." And, you know, I got to looking at that, and I thought there for a minute, these words, you know, they've always seemed to me like they were totally out of place, that it appears that even the apostles did not get a hold of. They couldn't understand what the Lord was saying. Here He's talking about being offended and that offenses will come, but woe unto that man by whom they come. And then all of a sudden His disciples say, "Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith." And what that tells me is that we're going to have enough faith to forgive. If a child of God, if the just shall live by faith, then it's going to take faith to forgive those that trespass against us or offend us, just like it's going to take faith to move that sycamine tree that the Lord was referring to there in verse number 6. Now, I want to begin tonight by simply defining the word offend. I'm just going to talk to you a little while. But that word offend literally means a trap stick. Or it means a bent sapling or a snare or a stumbling block. And what He's saying there to His disciples said, it's impossible that offenses, that is, somebody is going to be a stumbling stone to you in your life. Somebody may try to set a snare for you in your life. Somebody may try to entrap you in your life. Somebody may offend you in your life. And it is impossible that offenses must come. They're going to come. There's no ifs, or ands, or buts about it. We're made out of clay, and we are apt to offend, and we're going to offend. And that's why the Lord put this here. That when we do offend others, that we can get right within our own heart. And that way we'll never enter, our fellowship with the Lord will never be interrupted. And the blessings of life will continue to flow upon us as a child of God. And so we don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody. Then I noticed something else, and I'm just hurrying right along. I noticed the context that this comes in. You know, He's just given or told the story about Lazarus and that rich man. And He made the statement there that Lazarus died and was caught up into heaven. The angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. But it said the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes at being in torment. And then the Lord turns right around and says it is impossible, but that offenses will come. In other words, people will be offended. People will feel like they've been trapped, or they've been done wrong, or they have been hurt in some way or wounded in some way. Jesus said they're going to come. And the thought that come to me is, I wonder if that man, and he's still in hell, by the way, he's not out of hell. I'm telling you, there is no golden key that will unlock the dungeon doors of hell. When a man or woman goes to hell, they're there. That's it. They're going to spend eternity in that lake of fire. But the thought hit me, or occurred to me, I wonder if someone had been a stumbling block to that man and caused him to stumble in some way that he would not believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus, and he died and went to hell because someone that he knew was a stumbling block to him. They offended him in some way. Now, I'm telling you, there's people all over the country tonight that in some way or another, and it's not always the one per fault, a lot of times it's the offended's fault.
Right.
It's the offended's fault. And there's people all over the country tonight that have been offended over something, and they're not in the house of God because they feel like they've been done wrong by somebody, a friend or somebody else in the church that they know. I was in the hospital with a boy. He was 50-some years old, and I think Brother Foley's going to go see him this week on Wednesday, and Miss Hall and I got to witnessing to him, named Stephen Brock from Russellville. We got to witnessing to that old boy. And here's what he told us. He sat there beside Miss Hall and he began to cry. Twice he did that. And twice we told him about the Lord and how God would forgive him of his sins and save him, and how he needed to go to heaven. He's got diabetes and it's eating his foot up. He's got gangrene in his foot. And he's going to die if he don't get something done to that. They've done told him that. And he wouldn't stay there and have it done. He'd come home. But here's what he said. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I'd love to get saved." He said, "I'm just going to be honest with you." He said, "My mother was a member of the First Baptist Church down here for 50 years. And said she went in the hospital with cancer and died 30 days later. And said while she was in the hospital, two members of our church went by to see her. And said the preacher went on a vacation to Israel and never went by and wasn't there when my mother died. And he said, I've just got to be honest with you. He said, I cannot let that go. I said, Stephen, if you ever get saved by the grace of God, you're going to have to let it go. I said, you have offended God, and if God has forgiven you, then you ought to be able to forgive that man. He said, and began to cry. He said, you're the best people I ever met, ever knew. I hope I see you again. But he said, I'm just telling you that I cannot let that thing go. I've tried all these years, ever since 1994. It's been 16 years, and it's still in the craw, and I cannot, and I will not let it go. I said, if you won't let it go, you'll die and go to hell. He said, then I'll die and go to hell. And there's people all over the country that have been offended in that way. And they're going to die and go to hell. And I wonder if that rich man, it's right. I mean, it's odd to me that this text follows that passage of Scripture. And I wondered if someone had been a stumbling block to that man. If they had said something to him that he couldn't get out of his crawl. And I'm going to tell you, and I'll say more about it in a minute, but I'm going to tell you, we got a tongue that is unruly and a tongue that cannot be tamed. And brother, we better be careful, and I'll say more about it in a minute, how we use our tongue, because it is a powerful offense to people in many ways that we use our tongue. And sometimes we offend folks and we don't even know we've done it, but we have. With that little thing right there. It's a world of iniquity set on fire of hell.
Amen.
You know I'm telling it right. Now listen carefully. The fact concerning offenses in verse 1. He said they will. It's impossible. But that they will come. And they're going to come. If you've never been offended as a Christian, you better brace yourself because it's coming.
Amen.
You're going to be offended. It's impossible that offenses must come, and they will come. But I'm going to tell you something, how our lives are lived from then on out, and the joy that we have and the blessings we have from God is going to depend on how we handle that situation when we've been offended by someone else that is dear to us or we know, and we will not let that thing go. It's going to determine the rest of our Christian life, how we live and what we get from God. Come on now, so I say amen. I'm going to get down here in a minute where the rubber meets the road. Now, there's a warning that the Lord issues in verse 1. He said, but woe unto him through whom they come. I wonder on the reverse side, could the rich man's condition been an indirect result because he had offended someone else? And by the way, I believe that verse number 1 there, and verse number one and two, I believe they're referring to lost people. But when we get to verse number 3, we change the subject. We're not talking about lost people. We're talking about the brethren. And I wonder, could the rich man be in hell because he offended somebody? And because he wouldn't get right about it? Because he had a hard heart? Because he wouldn't forgive somebody? I wonder if he had offended somebody and he was in hell because he wouldn't get right about that offense. The Bible said they're going to come, and woe unto that man by whom they come. And I'm telling you, woe is not a good word. It carries with it a powerful judgment and sentence every time you hear it. You don't believe me? Read the book of Revelation. You'll find out what I'm telling you. I've said many times, one woe passes, and behold, another woe cometh quickly, and it does. So he issues that warning, that woe unto him by whom they come. He said it would be better if someone would tie a millstone around your neck and cast you into the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. I won't say something to you, Mom and Daddy. I wonder if the Lord might have had mommies and daddies in mind there also when he said, if you offend one of these little ones, oh, God, help parents that'll lay out of church or live in church one way and at home like a devil and offend that. Amen. Come on now. And offend their children and how they live at home and, hey, become a stumbling block to that child, that when they grow up, they don't want nothing to do with church. They don't want nothing to do with God, and they'll die and go to hell. Yeah. I wonder how many people have roast preacher every Sunday and your children hear you talking about the man of God. Come on now, talking about the man of God. Oh, I'm going to tell you, if you've got anything to say about Brother Hall, I don't mind you saying it, but don't let your children hear it. Get in a private place and talk, would you please? Because I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're going to put a seed thought in there, and they're going to say, buddy, he's a real bad guy, and I don't want to have anything at all to do with him.
Right.
I got so tickled the last few nights. Little old Ethan back there come in my office. He'll climb up in that chair behind that desk and just rear back and look around. I mean, just like he owns things, boy. And he crawled up in it tonight and spun it around with his back to us. I said, you can't do that. That's a bad pastor that turns his back on his flock. And you better turn that chair back around. Now, he likes to sit in that chair. He really does. Wouldn't it be a shame if somebody come in there and yelled at him or screamed at him or offended that little boy for sitting in that chair? And he got that in his mind and in his heart and couldn't let it go all the years of his life. Somebody said it won't happen that way. I'm telling you, I know people that it's happened that way. That is a little child, they've been offended by somebody. Somebody has said something wrong to them and offended them and done them wrong. And I'm going to tell you, it's harder to win them than it is to overcome a fit city, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, we better be careful how we offend people.
Amen.
Especially these little ones. I'd hate to be a drunken daddy and have my child and be telling him all this stuff about church and how they don't need church and don't need the preacher and don't need all this and don't need Sunday school and don't need that. I'm going to tell you, I think sometimes the vigilantes ought to get back in for us.
Amen.
Go out, bless God, and take a bundle of switches and beat somebody about half to death with them around the backside. Straighten some people out. That's right. God help them. They don't know any better. But I wonder if they realize how they're offending that little child.
Amen.
That little baby. They're sowing seeds of ungodliness in his heart that will never depart from him. If they offend him and wound him, they'll be there. It'll take a miracle of the grace of God to ever get rid of them. Now stay right with me. We ain't done yet. Now, the judgment passed upon the offender is severe. He said, be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he'd be cast into the sea.
Amen.
Now, I want you to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. It doesn't say one thing about him having any mercy. There's no mercy there. It'd be better if he's cast into the sea, and there's not one word that says anything about him having mercy. His days of mercy are over. Come on now. I know somebody's not paying a bit of attention to what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, you might be the very one that's in a mess because exactly what I'm preaching on tonight and don't even know it. And somebody, hey, that man that offended those little ones went beyond the place of mercy. Too late for him. He's gone. It's over. He's in hell. He's going to hell. Somebody said, do you really believe that? I believe God can reprobate a man. Yes, sir, I sure do. And if you don't, you need to read your Bible, friend. God help us. Now, I ain't done. I need you hiding your face. I'm not done. Amen. Now, there's an exhortation given to the apostles. And here it changes to God's people. There's an exhortation given to the apostles in verse 3. He said, take heed to yourselves. And he's leaving the lost people. And he's going to the apostles. And he said, take heed, or the disciples, whichever way you want to use it. He said, take heed unto yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee. Not if your brother trespasses against somebody else. I'm going to tell you, a person has no right to try to straighten out somebody that has offended somebody else. That offense is between those two people and not for somebody else to stick their nose in it. I'm telling you, problems develop in our churches when people start sticking their nose in other people's business. Let them handle it. That Bible said, hey, let them handle it themselves. Come on, children. Praise God, that's what the book says. Amen. Said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Now I want you to get a hold of this. Said, if your brother offends you, you are to go to him and rebuke him.
Amen.
We've gotten the idea today that the offender is supposed to do the apologizing. Wrong. If you've been offended and somebody's offended you, the monkey is on your back, friend, to go to them and get things right with them. And if you don't get things right with them, you ain't right yourself. I don't care who you are. Whether it's me or somebody else. That's right. We think everybody's a bad guy that's offended us. They've done something wrong. We don't like them no more. They've done something that we didn't like. I've been offended at them. Well, why don't you go get right with them?
Amen.
The Bible plainly says there that if he trespass against thee, rebuke him. Notice who the burden of restoration is on. It lies on the offended, not on the offender. He said, rebuke him. Rebuke him. So the burden lies on the offended, not on the offender. And I can prove that to you through our Lord Jesus Christ. It was God that was offended by man. We had offended God. We sinned against God. Amen. Come on. We sinned against God. We offended God. But I'm telling you, we didn't go to God and reconcile ourselves to God. God came to where we were. The offended come to the offender and got things right. That's Bible, folks. That's Bible. I'm going to tell you, when we start practicing that, I believe we'll see a little more power of God in our churches.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, why are you preaching that? Because that's what God said to preach.
Right. Amen.
We're not going to have revival with a chip on our shoulder.
Amen.
We're not going to have revival with animosity in our heart.
Right.
And if we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us when we pray. Forget receiving anything from the Lord.
Amen.
You ain't going to get it.
Amen.
God help us. Come on now,
Amen.
Children. Brother Doug Thompson said, come on in the house. The burden of restoration lies on the offended, not on the offender. He said, rebuke him. Rebuke him. And we can offend in many ways. Psalm 39:1, the psalmist said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle,
Amen.
While the wicked are before me. Oh, for crying out loud. I wonder how many folks get out on jobs and they just run that trap all the time. And people on a job that are lost, and here we are running our mouth to them, and they're offended because we're running our trap to them. We can't keep that tongue in our mouth. It'd be good to take a horse's bridle to work with us, put it in our mouth, and gird it down, and keep our mouth shut. I noticed, I asked Brother Jerome the other day in the office, I said, Brother Jerome, what's wrong with you? He said, I'm studying to be quiet. I thought, praise God, that'd do us all good. Study to be quiet. You realize every idle word that proceeds out of our mouth, we're going to give an account for it to God. Every idle word, we're going to give an account to it for God. Now, you stop and think on that. All the joking, all the clowning, all the jesting, all this stuff, I'm telling you, we're going to give an account to God for that mess. You better believe that's right. Now, stay right with me. Stay right with me. Now, the burden of restoration is only offended. And we can offend in our ways. It's what David said in Psalm 32. We can offend in our word. James said in chapter 3 and verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. But I don't know anybody that's able to bridle the tongue.
Right.
I'm telling you, we've got to tell our mind, buddy. Oh, yeah, most of the time we're going to have to let folks know how we feel. This is what I think. This is how I feel. Oh, I'm so sick of going to camp meetings. And that's all you hear around camp meetings is this preacher and that preacher and this preacher and what he's done, what somebody else done. Tell me what good that's going to benefit me. It ain't going to help me a bit. It ain't going to help them a bit. I'm going to tell you what it's going to do. It's going to sow discord amongst the brethren, divide the brethren, and a nation divided cannot stand.
Amen.
A church divided can't stand. A house divided can't stand.
Right.
No, sir. That's right. Hallelujah. We're having fun, ain't we? Now, listen carefully. We can offend in our will. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean in your will? Well, when the Lord, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, said from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the chief elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, rebuke the Lord. Peter began to rebuke the Lord, and here's what he said. He said, this shall not be unto you. You're not going to Jerusalem, and you're not going to die there. Now, folks, I'm telling you, it was the will of God for Jesus to die on Calvary for our sins, and he knew it. Now, notice what the Lord said to Peter about that. That's when the Lord turned and said unto him, hey, can you imagine? Here is one hand-picked disciple, and Peter and Jesus turned to him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man.
Yeah.
Now, here's the problem. Now, I don't hold Peter totally guilty. Peter loved the Lord. But yet it was God's will that he die on Calvary. I'm going to tell you, when we begin to tell men what God's will is for their life and try to run their life, hey, you can't do that. Come on in the house now. I'm telling you, only one man knows God's will for my life, and that is me.
Amen.
There's only one person knows God's will for your life, and that's you. I'm sick and tired of preachers trying to tell folks what God's will is for them. We had a meeting here one year. Benny was going to Mexico. And a preacher come up here, won't mention his name. I heard some racket going on back there in Miss Hall, what is now Miss Hall Sunday School room. Opened the door and walked in. There was Benny, boy. Looked like he was sitting in the chair and looked like the Gestapo was over him interrogating him. Benny was a frightened little kid. He was just a kid.
Amen.
This preacher was just ripping him out. This preacher was preaching a meeting at Sturgis. And he said, I want to know why you've not been to our missions conference over there. And Benny said, well, I've been in our church and our meetings. He said, hey, you're a missionary. You're not supposed to be here. You're supposed to be out. And I said, ho, wait a minute. I said, he's a member of this church, and when we're in service, if he's in the area, he's to be in our church. Oh, no, he's to be over there. I said, no, he's not to be over there. He said, well, I want to know why you ain't come over there. I said, I'm going to tell you why. Because your pastor doesn't agree, preaches against television, won't let anybody in the choir who owns the television, and I know for a fact you've got televisions in your house, and you're here preaching in the pulpit. And my people know that, and they're not coming. He got all upset with me and left at Brother John Fletcher's one day. There he come and appeared. And I walked back to the bathroom, come out of the bathroom, and who's standing there but this preacher? And he said, I think we need to get things straightened out between us. And I'm going to just be honest. I don't mean to sound ugly, bad, mean, or nothing, but I just looked at him. I said, well, I'd like to do that. And he said, you know you was wrong up there that day. I said, I want to ask you a question. Do you want to get things straightened out between us? He said, I sure would like to. I said, you run your mouth one more time and it'll be straightened out. I meant it.
Amen.
He said, you mean we're not going to resolve this thing? I said, not as long as you're as stout-hearted as you are. You're trying to dictate to me what I do with preachers out of this church. And there ain't no preacher going to come over here and tell me or some other preacher in the church what they can do and what they can't do. That man was an offense to me. I've been offended ever since. Amen. And I told him he offended me and we needed to get right. But I'm going to tell you something. He wouldn't take it. I said, we need to get this thing right. He would not receive it. And I'm going to tell you, the monkey's on his back right now. His wife died and he married some woman that was a Methodist or something. She run off from him and he's got her back and one thing or another. She's supposed to become a Baptist. I don't know what she is. She ain't nothing. A mess. Come on. Somebody said, you ought to talk about preachers that way. I will when they're like that. And especially when they come in here trying to line out my people. I'm going to tell you something. I'm responsible to God for every person in here. And it'll be a cold day in a boogeyman's house when I let a preacher from some other church or some other state come in here and jump on you, whether you're a preacher or whether you're a member. I'm not going to put up with it. You're my responsibility, not theirs. Let them keep their nose in their business and we'll keep our nose in our business. That's why I am an independent Baptist.
Amen.
That's not the only reason, but that's one of them. Now, listen carefully. The offender is called upon to repent and the offended to forgive. The offender is called on to repent. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Lord, how can I forgive him? Increase my faith. Give me enough faith, Lord, to forgive him. My heart is wrecked. My heart is broken. I've been offended. How can I forgive him unless you give me the faith to do that? That's what he's saying here.
Amen.
Hope ain't lost, some of you. Some folks say they can forgive, but they just cannot forget something that's been an offense or an injury that's been done to them. I'm going to tell you what they're saying. They're saying they're just waiting for the right time to get even. Somebody says, I can forgive, but you know, I just can't forget that. They're just waiting for the right time to get even. I'm going to tell you what it said in Matthew, and I'm not going to turn there. In 1835, the Lord said in there, according to a parable, and I may go to that parable in a minute, but in the last verse there, the Lord said in that verse, unless you forgive from your heart, God help us on lip service. God's not interested in lip service. God wants it from the heart, friend. with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, we're to go to that person and tell them, you've offended me, and I'm rebuking you of that. And if they're both right, that other man will say, hey, look, I want you to forgive me for what I've done. And I'm going to tell you, if that person's not willing to forgive him, the monkey's on their back. Not his, theirs. Amen and amen. That's right. God help us. God help us. Forgiving another of their offense is like being Christ-minded or Christ-like. For it says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And I wrote out here, forgiving others is simply being godly. Amen. Forgiving others is simply being godly. Folks, hey, let's wake up. Look at our heart. And how we had offended Christ. How we had trespassed against God and broken His law, broken His word, did not esteem Him for who He was, and yet He had enough grace to let us die for us and forgive us of all of our sins. And we're not able to forgive somebody because they said something or done some little trivial thing that don't amount to a hill of beans, and we still won't forgive them.
Amen.
Amen. Not very popular. I knew it wouldn't be. But, you know, that's the way it goes. That's the way it goes. It's just being godly. Now, Christians should be ready and anxious to forgive. And I'll tell you why. It's a great folly to refuse mercy when you have received mercy. Well, I want you to forgive me. Oh, I can't do that. Well, it's folly. How can you expect to receive mercy? To receive mercy if you're not willing to show mercy. That's what it's saying. I want to read that one more time. Christians should be ready and anxious to forgive. It is a great folly to refuse mercy while we ourselves have received mercy. Thank God. I've received mercy from the Lord. I was between a rock and a hard spot and had the sweets put on and was going to hell. I was in a horrible pit and couldn't get out. But Christ came to where I was and He said, hey, if you repent, I'll forgive you. I said, Lord, I repent. Guess what? He forgave me of all, A-double-L, all my sins and brought me out of that horrible pit, set my feet on a rock, established my God, put a song in my heart, even praise unto my God. Bless His holy name and all that is within me. Bless His holy name for what He's done in my life. Or to be in hell, but He forgave me of all, A-L-L, all my trespasses. I'm going to ask you something. He was that good to me. How can I not show mercy to others? We're not much of a Christian. We can't show mercy to others. Are you listening? I'm going to say this, and it's going to offend a bunch of you. But I asked you women in here this morning, I've been praying with Tammy. And several of you stood right there in the pew where you are and didn't offer to move. I throwed out a feeler line this morning. I want you to listen to what I'm telling you. I throwed out a feeler line and a gauge to measure our hearts. And I found that our hearts are lacking. They're lacking. I wonder how much we love people. I wonder how willing we are to forgive and get over it and go on and serve God. I wonder. That's right. Christians should be ready and anxious to forgive. Then the apostles asked for enough faith to forgive. They said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Now, this demands a depth of faith that no created will can exercise. There's no way that my will alone can do that. You know why? I'm clay.
Amen.
And you're clay. And if you think it's not a battle to forgive somebody, you're wrong. That's right. It's easy to offend, but it's hard to forgive. Now I'm telling you, it's hard to forgive because we're clay. We are made of clay. This old body ain't perfect yet. And the flesh will rear up and say, oh no, I'm not. You don't understand what that person did to me, how they've offended me. Oh, they've grieved my heart. They've wounded my spirit. They've tore me up on the inside. I don't care what they've done. That Bible said we are to forgive them.
Amen.
Everybody knows this. Me and Herbert Williamson fought like cats and dogs. But guess who's coming to the meeting this year?
Amen.
Guess who came last year and I preached him? Yes. Brother Herbert Williamson.
Amen.
We made things right.
Amen.
There's other men in the area that I'm probably not going to mention the names because they might be listening. They may not want everybody to hear what you're going to say. But some of you will know who it is if you just stop and think. Somebody else in this area.
Right.
Hey, we got right with one another.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, as far as I know, there's not anybody in this world right now that I've got any odd in my heart against. Not nobody that I know. Somebody said, not even somebody that's offended you and hurt you and broken you. Nobody! My own pastor has offended me. He's offended me, but I'm going to tell you what. I still love him. God bless his heart. I'd like to see God do something for him. I love him. He was my man of God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And I got to find it within my heart to forgive what he's done and go on.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't know anybody that I have any ought in my heart against. Now I'm going to tell you, I've been Joab more times than once. I've had the fifth rib treatment a number of times, neighbor. But I'm still going. And I'm trying to be like Jesus and forgive. When he was dying on the cross, they were casting silly sayings into his mouth. He looked up to God and said, Father, forgive them!
Amen.
They don't know what they're doing. Forgive them! They don't know what they're doing. If Christ died on Calvary to forgive those that nailed him to the tree, why can't you and I forgive somebody that's offended us a little bit?
Amen.
If we can't, we ain't much of a Christian. I don't know if we are a Christian.
Amen.
I said, I wish you'd hurry up. I'm trying to. Then they asked him for faith. And they asked for faith. And they show their faith by asking.
Right.
Lord, increase our faith. They said, we've got faith. Increase our faith. They asked for faith, but they showed they had faith by asking God for more faith.
Amen.
Lord, help me. And I won't say this. As far as I know, this is the only place in the Bible. I know the disciples one time said, Lord, teach us to pray. But as far as I know, this is the only place in the Bible they ever prayed and asked for a virtue like that. Faith. Hope, charity. That's the only place I know they ever ask for something like that. They ask for it. Enough faith to forgive somebody. Also, you said it don't take faith to do that. If the just shall live by faith, it does.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And you've got to believe in your heart by faith that God will work all things out for you.
Amen.
Come on now. I'm glad your brother Jerome said amen anyway. This is a confession that their hearts were in the hands of the Lord. They didn't say, Lord, we're going to increase our faith. They said, Lord, you increase our faith. Our lives are in your hands, and it's going to take the Lord to increase our faith. You can't do it yourself, neighbor. I can't do it myself. It's going to take the Lord to give us great faith, to believe Him for great and mighty things. Call unto me and I'll answer thee. I'll show thee great and mighty things down the north. Don't you think that it takes faith to do that? I know it does. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Little Johnny Jones say amen, 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 amen. Now, this faith surmounts all stumbling blocks and freely forgives sin. If we've got that kind of faith, forgiving and forgetting faith, it will just leap over all stumbling blocks. Nothing can stop it. And I'm going to tell you why here in just a minute. I'm getting ready to tell you why, and I'm done. Because real faith demonstrates love.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have to, if you forgive somebody, you're going to have to love them. In chapter 7 of this same book of Luke, one of the Pharisees called the Lord to a meal, and a woman, I believe it was Mary Magdalene, I don't know, I can't prove, but I believe it was, come up behind Jesus and begin to weep and wash his feet with the tears of her eyes and wipe them with the hair of the head. And Simon sat there like a knot on a log.
Amen.
And Simon said within himself, if he was a prophet, he'd know what kind of a woman this is. And the Lord looked over Simon and said, Simon, I've got somewhat against thee.
Amen.
Something to say to you. I come in your house. You gave me nothing to drink. You did not anoint my head. You said you didn't give me any water to wash my feet. You said this woman has not ceased to wash my feet with the tears of her eyes and dry with the hair of the head and anoint me with oil ever since I came into this house.
Yep.
He said, I want to ask you something, Simon. He said, who's going to love the most? Those that have been forgiven a lot or those that have been given less? He said, those that have been forgiven a lot. He said, you've said correctly. And said, this woman that he said, and he didn't say these words on purpose. He said, this woman who is a harlot and a sinner, and I know she's a sinner. You didn't have to think it in your mind. I know it. But I'm going to tell you something. Her sins that were many are forgiven her.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because Jesus loved sinners.
Amen.
Amen. And he knew that forgiving those sinners, brought reconciliation. Oh, it brought Jesus back together with those that had offended him. And I'm going to tell you, if we'll go in the right manner at it, it'll reconcile us and bring us back together again in fellowship and harmony and union like God wants us to. God wants us to be reconciled to one another. God wants us to love one another. Now I'm going to tell you, if you can't forgive somebody, you don't love them. So don't tell me how great a Christian you are if you don't have a heart to forgive because you don't love.
Right.
And I'm telling you, if you don't love, you got a lot of lacking.
Amen.
Come on in the house, boys and girls. Faith demands righteousness, and that is righteousness. And faith, that faith, the forgiveness develops our fellowship. Can you imagine how good it is when two people that are at odds and haven't fellowship for a long time, get right with one another? I'll never forget the day when old Brother Jerome had been gone for a year and better out of this church. I drove up by that gas station there. I sat on that curb up here. This gas station with a car wash across from the dry cleaners. Right before you go into the church, I pulled in there and I rolled down the window. I said, Brother Jerome, I said, don't you think it's about right? Time for you to get right. Come back home to the church where you belong. He said, preacher, I believe it is. I'm going to tell you something. He came back and never said a word. He just got up in front of the church and asked the church to forgive him. He asked me to forgive him. He never said a word. He just took him a seat. And after several weeks, he came to me and he said, Brother Hall, I've been here several weeks. Would it be all right if I start singing in the choir again? I said, yes, sir, it would.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, as far as I know, he and I have not had too many cross words.
Amen.
Down through the years. But you're talking about a happy day. When me and old Brother Jerome got things right with one another.
Amen.
Son, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but it made my heart flutter when things were made right between us.
Amen.
And I seen him reconciled and seen him back in the house of God where God wants him to be.
Amen.
I ain't seen too many people do that.
Right.
Most folks get mad.
Amen.
And somebody in the church is always at fault. It's not always the pastor, but somebody's always at fault. I've never seen anybody leave yet and say, yeah, I'm leaving, but it's my fault. It's always somebody else's fault.
Right. Amen.
Hogwash.
Right.
I've said a number of times, if people are truly saved, two people that are truly saved, if they cannot get right with one another, there's a problem in their life somewhere.
Amen.
I'll still say that.
Yes.
And then that faith discovers spiritual liberty. In Matthew 18, You know that parable. Now, I know about forgive the law of forgiveness, and I'm not going into all of it. But there was a servant that owed his master a great sum. And he came to brought him into reckoning with him, and he fell down and worshipped his master. He said, "Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay all." Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him. There's the liberty. Loosed him and forgave him the debt. Isn't that wonderful to know? Hey, when we either forgive somebody or somebody forgives us, what a load that's loosed from us. What a burden that is raised from our shoulders. Great day in the morning. What a great help it is to our heart when that burden is lifted from our soul and we're loose from that burden we've been carrying. And he was. But you know something? There was others owed him some money. And he went out and took one of them by the throat and said, "You give me all that you owe me." And it got back to the good man of the house. And he called him back in and said, "I know what you've done." He said, "I'm going to tell you what. That I forgave you of all that debt, should you not forgive them your debts?" I'm telling you, if He's forgiven us of our debts, should we not forgive others
Amen.
Their debts?
Amen.
I think so. And the Lord, after He had called him, said unto him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on the fellow servants, even as I had pity on thee?" And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also to you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone, not somebody, not occasional person, but everyone, his brother, his trespasses. Forgive and forget. If we've got the faith, we can do it. Let's stand together.